Hello everyone, this is Monsef Asker and thank you so much for joining us today in this new call of Your Divine Uniqueness. Very excited that Benjamin Bernstein is back on the show. He's been with us many times during the past, and each time he brings new information, new guidance about what's going on, like energetically for us, and also perspective from the, also giving us information from astrological perspective, which really brings profound guidance about how to deal with the experiences that we experience, that we are experiencing as like challenges, and also how we can take advantage of the opportunities that the new energies, the accelerated energies that are bringing to us. And also, as maybe many of you experienced before with him, like we did shamanic processes and also invocations that were really, really powerful. So today also we'll experience with him a new spiritual process that he didn't share before during the Telesummit world, and also will do invocation. I highly recommend that you experience that. The shamanic process is called the Four Sons exercise, and then we will move to the Embodied Awakening invocation. And also he will be sharing with us about the astrology of next year, 2020, and the alignments that is really the element alignments that are truly historic, which bring really energetically some opportunities for us that we didn't experience in the past. And maybe as he will be sharing later during the call, like this can be one of the most powerful experiences we are having in this lifetime. So very excited about that. And maybe for those who are new to Benjamin, I will quickly share with you about him. So he is the astro shaman. So he is an astrologer, shamanic healer, awakening activator, and a life coach. And Benjamin hosts This Week in Astrology, a top 10 astrology podcast award winner. And he was a best astrologer winner from 2013 through 2015, every year the best astrologer category existed in Western North Carolina's premier reader survey. He is a professional certified astrologer and has done over 8,000 astrology, shamanic healing, and life coaching sessions with a global clientele. He posts video astrology forecasts and other content on his popular YouTube channel. So yeah, very excited about our call. So Benjamin, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Let me first verify that my voice is coming through okay.
Yes. Yeah, I can
hear. Awesome. Okay, great. Yeah, so I'm super excited to be with you, and I wanted to definitely bring some fresh energy. I know in the past we've done, you know, kind of similar things during our time together, but I wanted to bring some new things to the party. And we will be doing one thing we've done before, which is the Embodied Awakening invocation, but we're going to do it in a more streamlined form, so it'll happen quicker. I've learned that the veils are getting so thin now that it can happen a lot quicker than usual. The new things are a shamanic practice I've been doing now for probably the better part of a year, and it's making a huge difference for me, the Four Sons practice. And I thought we would open with that Four Sons practice, which takes maybe 15 minutes or so. Then we'll do some Embodied Awakening, and that'll take, you know, usually 15, 20 minutes tops for that. And then we can segue into the astrology and also delighted to take any questions people have. Probably let's wait until we've done the energetic processes, and then maybe after we finish the second energetic process, we can open the lines up, and people may be having reports of experiences they've had, and we can spend a little time dealing with any questions or comments on that, and then get into the astrology, and that can be a more interactive flow kind of thing as we go through that with callers interspersed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. Benjamin said, we will open the line later during the call, maybe toward the end. So for that, you can share either your feedback, you can type it on the question box, which is on the webcast page, Also, you can share it on the phone or the call or the web call. And for that, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone or the web call. And also, we take questions during that part of the call. So, yeah, very, very, very excited about what we'll be experiencing today, Benjamin. So, should we just start with the shamanic process first?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm biased towards starting experientially. I do a program called Awakening Plus that we'll be talking more about at the end of the call. But
right.
I've been doing spiritual online groups for over 4 years, where we all get together on the phone or by Zoom or computer somehow. We're doing processes together, and I used to take questions on the front end of that, and then I got feedback later saying we really would prefer to do the energetic stuff first. That's what we really came for, and then we can hang around for the mental stuff if we want. So
yeah.
So I'm biased now toward doing the experiential things on the front
end. Yeah. Beautiful.
Okay,
yeah.
So again, this first process probably will take 15 to 20 minutes. So I'll invite the listener, if possible, give this your undivided attention. You'll definitely get a better outcome. Also, if you're doing this, whether you're doing this live on the call or on the replay afterward, you are actually contributing energy to the field, and you're actually affecting everyone right now and forward and backward in time, whoever has done or ever will do this call in some way. So just bring it your best shot. I just asked, if possible, give it your undivided attention. Just do this if you're going to do this, if possible. That would be a courtesy to others, and it will also give you the best experience. So probably best not to do this if you're driving. You definitely want your
full
attention in the inner world here. So anyhow, let's jump in, and I invite you to, you can either sit or stand to do this, just be comfortable. Again, this is the Four Suns exercise, and so we're going to start just by and let me also, why are we doing this? Let me just give a tiny bit of intellectual, setup here. There is an energetic center in the lower part of the body. And it has many different names depending on what tradition is describing it. In the Andean shamanism or the Andean spirituality, which means of the Andes, like in Peru and places like that, this part is called the Cosco, Q-O-S-Q-O. Other traditions call it the lower Dantian, the central burner, the Hara. It's that energy center low in the body, a little below the navel, centered in the body, just a little bit above the pelvic floor. And all spiritual traditions agree there's at least three energy centers in the body. This one, the one around the heart chakra, and the one around the pineal gland and the head. And those three, there's pretty much universal agreement that those exist. So let's focus on this one at the base. And the reason we're about to do this is we're going to pull energy from three different sources and fire it up. From the core of the earth, from our sun up in the sky, and also from the center of the galaxy. And why we're doing this is this energy center of the body is great for digesting heavy energy. Now I'm going to introduce a technical word here, and the word is hucha, H-U-C-H-A. And in the Quechua language of South America, that word means waste energy. It's heavy energy, thick, sludgy. It's the stuff you just want to get rid of because it doesn't feel good. And amazingly, when this part of the body is kind of illuminated and empowered through an exercise like this, it becomes really good at eating hucha, as they term it in South America. And I've not gotten to the point where if I'm having some unpleasant energy in my body or around it, or if I'm in an environment where there's like some unpleasant energy happening, I can literally open this center and have it literally suck in all that heavy energy right into itself. And then I give it the command, Cosco digest, and it digests it. Like it composts it super fast and then just flushes whatever's left down into the earth. And earth or Pachamama or Gaia or whatever you want to call her loves this stuff. I mean, it's just like we humans expel carbon dioxide, and to us it's poison, but to the trees they say, yeah, give me more of that. I can grow leaves with that. And in the same way, when we dump this hucha into the earth loves it and is vitalized by it. So the basic, why would we even do an exercise like this? Because you can get much better when you have unpleasant energy in you, whether that's a challenging emotion or a physical discomfort, Many times this Costco can just suck it in like a vacuum cleaner and compost it at high speed and just flush it away. Now, it may take a while of practice. I mean, some people may be naturally adept at this already. Others may need some practice. But this is a tradition that's done very commonly in shamanic traditions in South America. So, but even if you don't get that far with it, by the time you've done the three suns and pull those energy in, another awesome side effect of this, or an intention really, is to walk between the worlds. What we're going to do here is we're going to ground solidly into the earth, and we're also going to call in these more celestial energies. It's all going to be right there in the Costco, and the effect is you are solidly in your body, and you're also in an awakened state. Now, in Peruvian shamanism, there isn't the emphasis like there is in Hinduism or the Eastern philosophies of transcendence. I just want to get out of the body and just be a pure spiritual being. They enjoy it here on earth, and they want to bring the spirit into the body. So the emphasis here is more on embodied awakening, being a fully functional human being, fully engaged and involved in your physical life, and yet at the same time you're awake as your own divinity, and you're functioning in this awesome state of flow, harmony, ease, and grace compared to what most people are in, compared to the Eastern paradigm in many traditions where you just want to get back out of the body and exit, you know. So the term I use for this is must be present to win. So as long as you're in a body, you got business here, and you need to be present in your body. You know, I've worked with so many clients and such who are just out of their body most of the time. They've been traumatized in some way, and they're spacey or just sort of unfocused, and it's because they're not fully present in the body, you know, for good reason, because they have been traumatized and there's just too much pain here. But exercises like this can help heal that pain, so you can be more present in the body, you know, functional, helpful. You can do more of what you came here to do. And so I wanted to just start with that, just to give a sense of why would you even do this exercise. It has tremendous benefits. And you can do this daily or even more if you want. So, you know, people can come back to this recording of this session and do it as much as they want. So enough preamble. So any questions about that, Monsef? Did I explain that clearly? Is there anything unclear in your mind about what we're about to do? Because you'd be asking sort of on behalf of the listeners here if there's any confusion in what I just explained.
For me, it's fine. Also, we didn't maybe receive questions about that from the audience. So I think, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. All right. So shall we proceed?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So now that we have some sense of what we're doing and why we're doing it, just let all that go and close your eyes and just let a breath or two come. Just relax into the just sensation of body. So as we do this, we're going to try to stay really focused in the sensation of what's happening and the visualization of what we're calling in. Just let thoughts go if they show up. Return your attention to the experience. So put your attention down there in the Costco. And again, that's the part of the body a little below the navel, centered in the body, above the pelvic floor. And imagine it about the size of a grapefruit. And imagine it as brilliant white light. And each time you inhale, imagine it getting larger and brighter. And just relax on the exhale. And when you inhale again, imagine it getting a little bigger, a little brighter. Just with your concentration and intention, energizing the Costco and making it more vibrant. A couple more breaths. Now, I'm tuning in to what everyone's doing. When I lead a process like this, it seems wild, but I have the ability to feel not only the people on the live call, but everyone who's ever going to listen to the recording. So I'm tracking all that energy, and I'll know when we can go to the next step by how everyone's doing. So just know that even if you're listening to the recording after, you're influencing how fast we go. Another reason why I ask you, really give this your full attention. Be just present with our process here, and that will help you and everyone else move along a little more quickly. There we go. Thank you. Amazing how people focused up when I said that. That was great. All right, so just take a moment and feel what it feels like in there. Now, in the inner world, some people are more visual, some are more somatic or feeling-natured. Some are a little of both. In my experience, the inner world, the feeling and seeing are a blended sense, but some people lean more toward the feeling side and some lean more toward the seeing side. So whatever your experience of all this is, you may be mainly feeling it, you might be more seeing it, it might be a blend, but whatever you do, that's fine. If I say feeling or seeing, just translate it to whatever your own experience is. So just feel or see that Costco, bright, luminous bright, big, vibrant. Good. So now we're going to visualize. Imagine a taproot as big around as your hips, dropping straight down through the bottom of your body, going down through the earth, and burrowing down all the way to the molten core of the planet. And I know that's a long distance, but it can do it in a few seconds if you just imagine it. And imagine this taproot going all the way to the very center of the earth. And we're going to call this Pachamama. And imagine also some horizontal roots growing out from that massive taproot to stabilize and kind of lock into the earth even more firmly. So you've got this massive taproot all the way down to the core. You're solid grounded. Now, as you inhale that energy of the earth, that vitality of the molten core up into the Costco on the inhale, and exhale gratitude to the earth for giving you this energy. Inhale and imagine this powerful energy coming right up through that taproot all the way into the Costco, saturating the Costco with this amazing potent earth energy. And exhale in gratitude back to Pachamama. And just do this a few times. Initially, I had trouble visualizing this sort of thing because I'm not a great visualizer by nature. So I asked my divine helpers to help me visualize, my higher self, my guides, whatever you work with. If visualizing isn't a great strength for you, just ask for your divine allies to help you visualize and do it as a team. Inhaling the beautiful energy up into the Costco from the core and exhaling back gratitude back to the center of the earth. Yeah, now we're starting to get a nice energetic shift. Well done. So if you're one of the ones who's catching it quick, keep your focus because you're helping everybody else backward and forward in time. And if you're having a little trouble, just relax and let the energy of those who are doing it well lift you up. This is a team effort. Everyone who ever has or is or ever will do this is all working together energetically. Mm-hmm. Starting to feel really good. Well done. Okay, just a couple of more, and I think we'll have a nice charge from the earth. Again, inhaling from the center of the earth into the Costco, feeling it vibrant and bright and intense, and exhaling back gratitude. A couple of more, and we'll be done on that part of it. One more breath. Excellent. So relax, feel the Costco, see if it is any different, if you're feeling it or seeing it differently. My mind feels a lot larger and brighter, more vibrant. Got some nice juicy earth energy vitalizing it. Good. So now you're going to imagine a tube coming up from the Costco, coming up what's called the central channel in Chinese medicine, right in front of the spine, and out the top of your head, up if you're in a building, up through the roof, out into the open sky, all the way up through the stratosphere, out into outer space, and right into the sun at the center of our solar system. And have that tube go right to the center of the sun. So now we're going to breathe this energy in. So as you inhale, imagine this golden, awesome energy from the sun, inhaling it right down into the Costco at the base of the body, and exhaling gratitude back to the sun. And it takes a little bit of concentration, but a little less than some of you are giving it. You don't have to put a lot of effort into this. Just relax, let it be easy. As you inhale, just imagine that energy flowing easily right down into the Costco. Saturate and exhale gratitude back to the sun. And just keep that cycle going a few times. Let it be easy. Let it be smooth. Every time you inhale, that Costco gets a little brighter, a little bigger, a little more potent. Inhale the light of the sun into the Costco. Exhale back gratitude. Almost there. One or two more. Again, give it your full attention. Just do this, if at all possible. Nice. Okay, relax. Feel the coast go. It might feel different now, a little more vibrant, a little more lit up. A little more bright white. Yeah, mine's thrumming like an engine. That's awesome. So now, imagine that tube of light that's right now in the center of the sun, extending beyond to the backside of the sun, out into outer space. And just making a beeline right for the center of the galaxy. The black hole at the center of our galaxy, right into the center of the Milky Way, penetrating right to the core of that black sun. And now we're going to inhale this dark light, this black light. This is not evil or bad. It's just dark. It absorbs. And this has very helpful qualities that we can be benefited by. So inhale this perfect dark light. From the center of the galaxy, right down into the Costco. Saturate it, and exhale back gratitude. And just do this a few times. In the Mayan cosmology, the idea is that this is where all souls come from. They have to come through the center of the galaxy to come into this realm. And when they die, they go out this way too. Inhale that perfect dark light into the core of the body, the Costco. Exhale gratitude to the great central sun. Tune into the feeling of it. Feel that perfect dark light go into the Costco. Gaining that wonderful absorptive quality that it brings, which the Costco needs to operate at high efficiency. It needs to be able to absorb heavy energy. Inhale the dark light into the Costco. Exhale gratitude to the center of the galaxy. Yeah, now we're having that shift. I'm really feeling the shift of consciousness now. When you really get this going, you get to where you feel like everything and nothing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Y'all are doing really well. Keep your focus. Make it easy. Just imagining every time the breath comes in, that perfect dark light going right into the Costco. And exhaling back gratitude to the center of the galaxy. Just thank you. It's good. A few more breaths. Yeah, I'm getting really sweet in my consciousness. When I leave these things, my consciousness mirrors the majority of the people doing it. And apparently y'all are starting to feel pretty good. Inhale that beautiful light to the bottom of the body, into that Costco, exhale that gratitude. One more. Well done. Okay, let that go. Place your attention in the Costco, that now vibrant, brilliant, bright energy center, and just feel it. Feel that beautiful, vibrant part of the body. And see if you don't feel at least a little bit like everything and nothing at the same time. See if you don't feel simultaneously like a physical being and a spiritual being. And common terms for this is walking between the worlds, or being the marriage of heaven and earth, or embodied awakening. So just take a moment to rest in this field. It's getting really sweet. And no matter how awakened you may already be, unless you've gone all the way, which most of us have not, then there's always a deeper layer you can open to that's even more awesome. Nice. So take one last moment to feel your state. See if you feel that everything and nothing idea. And we're going to segue right from this into the embodied awakening invocation, which will be even easier than usual now because this exercise has kind of warmed us up and got us all or mostly there. Now, what I'm about to give, the embodied awakening invocation, is much simpler and quicker than what we just did. But the embodied awakening exercise does not build up the Costco. So each one has their own unique benefit. So take a moment and just right now just see how you feel. And particularly notice, is there any mental chatter right now? And if so, on a, like a 1 to 10, 10 would be just drowning out mental chatter, 1 would be none. Roughly how much is there just already arising, not trying to change anything? Do the same with how much challenging emotion are you feeling right now? 10 would be over the top, excruciating emotional challenge. 1 would be perfect peace. Where you are right now on that? All righty. Now, in the past, we've done a four-part cycle on this, but I rarely have to do that anymore with people. A single invocation seems to be enough for most. So we're going to say 8 words. Now, doing this exercise presumes that you believe that you have a higher self, which is simply the spiritual being that created your human being. The basic idea here is, before you incarnated, you were an entirely spiritual being. Working at that level, you planned out your next human lifetime, and then when the human part was created, part of you split off and came in to be the human, and part of you stayed back at the soul level to monitor and drop hints, which are also known as intuition. So what this does is puts the two parts together while you're still in your physical body. Most people think you got to leave your body and go be one with God, but this reverses that and says, no, you hang out in your body and your divine aspect comes to you, thus embodied awakening. Now, before doing this, it's important to have a sense of what's going to happen. So I like to explain it most easily using the metaphor of driving a car. Instead of your ego driving the car, the ego slides to the passenger seat and the divine drives. And if the ego at some point does not like the divine's driving, it just has to scooch over, take the wheel. The divine steps out immediately with no fuss, and the ego is immediately back in control. So your human part, your ego part, must understand there is no risk here. If you don't like the state of embodied awakening, if you'd rather be driving yourself, you just take the wheel, the divine steps out on the spot with no hassle, and you immediately have your old ego control paradigm returned. So just understand that you can reverse it instantly, and it's always reversible if you prefer to do that. So if those things are okay with you, then I'll invite you to do the invocation. I'm going to preview it first. This is not the real deal. You do not have to memorize it, but just listen to these eight words and see if they're okay with you. Maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please. So if you're okay with those words and you're okay speaking them to your higher self and then relaxing passively and letting them come in, then we can jump right into this. So if you would like to do this, again, please, if possible, give it your undivided attention. Don't be driving or doing anything that requires your attention externally. Please give this your full attention if you possibly can, not only for your own safety, but for your own benefit of having the best experience and, of course, holding great space for everybody else, because the state you hold doing this, as I said earlier, will influence everyone else who's having this experience. So if you want to join us, then say out loud if you can, or silently if you must. Maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please. Let the words go. That was spoken to your higher self, and now you just, oh, that's feeling nice. So relax into breath awareness. Just notice when on its own the breath enters the body. And notice when the breath leaves. You're not controlling anything. You're just noticing the body's automatic process of respiration. Keep your attention on the sensation of the breath. In invocation work, there's no thought that can help you. You let those go. You don't fight them, but they just hang out in the background or they leave. Keep your attention on the sensations in the body. It's very strong. Please know that it is not possible to get overwhelmed by this. It cannot happen. You said maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good. Overwhelm does not serve highest good. Your higher self will not allow that in any invocation that I give. So you don't have to regulate or filter or control anything. Just relax, let the breath come and go. Trust your higher self to do this for you. It's delighted to do it. And just let that energy come on in. Anything that is not breath is to be considered a distraction. All thought is distraction while we're still in this exercise. It doesn't matter even if the thought seems helpful. Let it go anyway. Here is the way to work with distraction. If you become aware your attention is no longer on your breath, which is what's the most helpful for letting the state come in quick and easy, then you notice you're distracted, but you don't fight it. You don't try to change it. You just let it be exactly as it is with no resistance. There's room for both of you. Then you just relax back into your breath very gently very persistently. And if the distraction keeps yammering in the background, that's fine. No worries. You just keep paying attention to your breath the best you can. This is a purely effortless, it's a totally passive yin sort of process. You've already called it in. Your ego is just relaxing and feeling breath and completely allowing. Your higher self is doing all the awakening. So please, no effort from the ego other than the teeny bit of effort needed to feel your breath. No trying to make anything happen, no stopping anything from happening, no deliberate visualizing or imagining anything. Just feel breath, relax, let it run itself. In this particular exercise, the invocation, any effort becomes totally counterproductive. Your divine will say, oh, they called me to do it, and now they're doing it themselves. Well, have to honor that free will. I'll back off and let them try. But to my knowledge, there is no human that can awaken themselves. It's like lifting yourself up by your own bootstraps. A nice idea, but it's technically not possible. You can call in the awakening. You can receive it as a gift. You just can't make it happen through the effort of the ego. So relax and let your higher self do it for you. As it comes in and merges with you and gives you that embodied awakening experience. Nice. So a lot of us are there. We're also going to now play a little check-in to see how little effort's needed even to feel breath. Most people use more effort than is needed as they begin this kind of process. So for a moment, I invite you to zero effort, simply being. Just relax fully, just keep feeling those breaths in and out, letting them do whatever they want. Feeling really nice. Just a moment longer. So drop now to zero effort. Just be. Simply exist for a moment. At the zero effort level, just notice, is there already some breath awareness in the mix? At zero effort. And if there's even a tiny amount of breath awareness, then that zero effort state's all you need. If you've totally lost the breath, then add a tiny bit of effort in there, like the touch of a feather, just barely any effort at all. Just barely enough to feel breath. Make it really easy. And hold breath using that much effort. That's feeling really good. So notice right now, we're going to check in to see if you've hit embodied awakening yet. So just notice at this moment, without changing anything, is there any mental chatter or challenging emotion that's spontaneously arising right now? Or is it just calm and still in your emotions and in your mental field? That's so deep. So I'm solidly there, and I'm reflecting. So most, if not all, of you folks have gotten there too. So just take a moment and feel where you're at. If you've hit embodied awakening, there's four factors that will all be true. No mental chatter, no challenging emotion, peaceful and effortless. It literally maintains itself on its own. If that's going on, you're there. Excellent. If you're not quite there, then come back, do it again later. And with a little practice, you might just slip right in. Remember, even on the recording, everyone who's doing or ever has done or ever will do this recording or this process, live or on the recording, is helping you. So you have a lot of help. And you've got all your divine allies, of course, who are always there, and they're helping you too. So lots of help is given. So just feel how you're at. And this is how I like to live my whole day. I should mention the four benefits of embodied awakening, which are pretty profound. When you are able to function all day in embodied awakening, or as other people might call it, when you're walking between the worlds, or you're the marriage of heaven and earth, you have a lot more harmony, flow, ease, and grace in your daily life activities. Everything you are responsible for, you do it more responsibly and more joyfully. Instead of having to figure things out in your mind so much, you just know things intuitively a lot more because you actually are embodied intuition. And finally, there's just more bliss. Most mornings I wake up and I'm in more bliss than a lot of people who take drugs to get high. It's just like there. Because when your higher self is merged with your human self, then it just feels awesome. When the higher self drives, so to speak, you, the human, have the consciousness of the higher self. And you're literally working on a different level than most people. It's awesome. And let me also emphasize how little time it takes to maintain. I'll ask Mon Seth if it's okay to share the spot on my website where all this is described. So to get the daily follow-up instructions, I don't want to verbalize them all here. It's not the best use of our time. That's why I recorded them and put them in writing. So if you go to astroshaman.com, A-S-T-R-O-S-H-A-M, as in mother, A, N as in Nancy.com. The last word on the menu bar is invocations. If you activate that, click it or tap it, it'll take you to a page with two blog posts. The first one with the cool graphic of the meditating person is mainly about the awakening invocation. And if you go into that post, you'll see right below the graphic, there's a little golden or yellow box. And in there is a link to an MP3. And you can stream or download that. It's about 13 minutes long. It's me telling you the daily maintenance practice to do this. And then the rest of the post is pretty detailed on how the process works. And there's lots of cool ways you can use invocations beyond just for awakening. And if you want to learn about that, that post just lays it all out for you. It's all free. And then the second post that's below that has an image of a crying woman. And it says, your negative reactions, golden opportunities for clearing an awakening. And it describes how to work with the challenging energy that will come up even as you're walking in embodied awakening. Because it's just heavy stuff, that hoochie wanting to clear off you. And every layer of hoochie you clear, it's like a big old onion with a bunch of layers. Your divinity's at the core. And then all the pain and wounding you've had that never got healed from this in prior lifetimes is all the layers of the onion, the dark layers. Every one of those that falls off, because of a tool like the healing invocation, then you actually have a deeper, more permanent awakening. Because we might say a technical way of thinking about awakening is the human you has less obstruction between your consciousness as a human and the pure divine core that you really are. The veils of illusion start peeling off, and every layer that falls, there's more bliss, there's more ecstasy, there's more energy. It feels better and better and better. Your motto becomes not, it doesn't get any better than this. Your motto becomes, it always gets better than this. And this has been true of my life for the last 8 or 9 years since I seriously started peeling my onion. So that's where to go to get the instructions, astroshaman.com. and click invocations and then read those two posts, and they're all self-explanatory. And again, there's the recording that will help you there. And just a little bit I want to say at the end here, if I were just to give the barest bullet point, if you want to use this tool to keep this going, you do it first thing in the morning, which many people report takes as little as 5 or 10 seconds. You say the eight words, maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please, you rest in breath. And literally it can take only one breath and the state's here. The bodies line up, the light body, the physical body, bada bing, there it is. When the two bodies are aligned, you have the consciousness and you go about your business. And you simply refresh it using the same eight words. If at any point during the day the bodies go out of sync, which means there's mental chatter again, there's challenging emotion again, you just invoke them back, take a few seconds, take a breath or two after saying the eight words, and it'll come right back into alignment, and you're good. Some people, they'll do it first thing in the morning, they'll stay in embodied awakening all day long. Other days may be more challenging. They need to call it back a few times. You just had to do it as needed. First thing in the morning, as needed, do it again when you go to bed. Based on a lot of feedback I've gotten, I've given this to well over 1,000 people in the time since I learned it from ayahuasca in a ceremony. And average maintenance time in the day to keep it going is 5 or 10 minutes. And a lot of people are just find that hard to believe that you can spend that little time and effort to get that big a reward. All I say is give it a shot if you're interested and see if it works for you. And it does work for enough people that I have a lot of people who are doing it real regular, and it's just part of their lifestyle. As far as the Four Suns exercise we did earlier, again, that's a separate technical exercise, and it also can put you into embodied awakening. But that's almost a side effect of it. The main function of that exercise is to build up the COSCO, that fundamental root energy center of the body, which enables you to not only be more grounded and rooted in the earth, especially if you tend to space out and leave your body a lot, and so you can be fully functional in 3D with, you know, full divine consciousness also, bringing that energy from the sun at the center of the solar system and the sun at the center of the galaxy is very, very high vibration stuff. And it has a similar effect, but what it does that the simple embodied awakening invocation does not, building up that COSCO can be awesomely effective for having it absorb heavy energy and flush it away, another way to deal with that heavy stuff. So that's our two experiential processes. I have no idea how long that took. Oh, we're about 50 minutes in, so about as long as I thought it would take. So, Monsef, I'm happy to address any questions or comments you have, or if we have any people who want to talk or put in a little text message.
Yeah, sure.
I'm happy to address any of that.
Yeah, of course. I just want first to say that both the processes they were really profound. Like from my own experience, it was like in the beginning, it was like a deeper connection with Mother Earth, and then like during the invocation, it was how to say like a really great shift, a big shift, like very deep sense of calm and stillness, and it was like feeling of like how to say all is well and everything is exactly as it should be, like that was the feeling I had.
Nice.
So yeah, beautiful. And yeah, I also want to share a couple feedback from our audience. Let's see. We have Sue. She said, thank you. My dogs were fine, and this was such a sudden change in their behavior. Good information for us. I want to move to where your vet is.
Gee, what the what?
just joking. I want to move to where your vet is.
Oh, the dog? Well, there's no dogs here, so.
Okay.
We have a couple of cats. But. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, Missy, she said, your laughter brought me to smile.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah. Thank you. Maybe we can move to the astrology of 2020. But before that, I would love if we can also share about the Awakening Plus membership that we are offering. So everyone, they can access 3 days for free to your membership. They can access live spiritual and shamanic experiences with you, and also previous recordings that they can download or watch online. So I would love if you can maybe share with us a little bit about that, and then we move, we continue our call. And yeah,
sure.
I also want to share the link. It's yourdivineuniqueness.com/Benjamin. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Benjamin. Benjamin. So yeah.
Cool.
So can you please share about that?
Yeah. So what we're offering is 30 days free membership. No obligation. You don't have to give any financial information. All you need to plug in is your name and your email. And that will give you a 30-day experience of this brand new membership I've just created. Now, it is brand new. It's the first Awakening Plus. But in fact, I've been doing spiritual memberships for over 4 years. And first it was called Basque, and then it was called Ease, and now it's called Awakening Plus. Each has been an evolution on top of the other one. So because I've been doing it so long, there's already over 200 calls in the archive, and as soon as you start your free 30 days, you have full access to stream or download those recordings. And every one of them carries the full power of the live call, and there's a whole bunch of different varieties of things. I won't even start to try to describe all that. Just having access to the archive would be reason enough to join. However, also 3 times a month, we do a live event. And the live event is me or a guest presenter presenting the, you know, whatever the process is. If people felt some nice juice from what we just did, it's similar. You know, what we just did might be something comparable to what an Awakening Plus event might be. They run 1 to 2 hours. And the focus is very much either on healing, you know, clearing the heavy stuff away. We have processes that are very healing focused. Sometimes we have processes that are more focused on just the, you know, awakening, moving into the high bliss states. But the calls are almost always very experientially focused. So they'll get 3 of those calls every month. Not only that, there's a forum, and it's not a Facebook forum with a zillion distractions. It is just our own private forum. We're the only ones there who are in the program. So you can go in there and you can interact with the other members. You can support each other. In fact, one of the things you can do is get the more, you know, loose phrase is check-in buddy, but an accountability partner. One thing I've observed over all the years I've been, you know, helping people with spiritual stuff is they'll have the best intentions, they'll have the big awakening, oh my God, my life has changed, and I see them 6 months or a year later and they've fallen right back into the old patterns and they're not doing their stuff anymore, they're not doing even something that only takes 5 or 10 minutes a day. You know, they got distracted, they got sucked back into the pain and the suffering again. So what a lot of people lack is an accountability partner, and I actually got some statistics on this. And just anyone who's got any goal going, if they just commit to a person that they're going to do it, even if that person has no connection to it, that gives them like a 65% chance of being successful. But if they actually have a accountability partner and they're checking in with that person regularly and they say, I'm going to do this, and the person asks them and they check in, did you do it? Then their chance of success actually goes up to 95% on average. So your odds of sticking with something are vastly better if you have an accountability partner. And I actually know people who spend hundreds of dollars a year just to have an accountability partner that they check in with, you know, remotely. So that benefit alone is just hugely valuable. So basically, Awakening Plus has 4 pillars it's built on. The first pillar is the live calls 3 times a month, where you can join live with people and have these extraordinary experiences. And, of course, the more people are involved, the more powerful it gets. The second benefit is the recordings. Again, over 200 of them, each carrying the full power of the original process because, yes, it's a recording, and all those divine beings that we were working with are with you in real time. They're not just frozen on the recording. They are with you in that moment. And in fact, some people get a favorite recording. They'll do it a bunch of times. And every time the experience is different because every time the divine beings are right there in real time giving them the thing they need in that moment. So the recordings are super juicy. The connections you'll make in the forum with other people are really valuable. You can develop community, especially if you're one of those people who doesn't have a community locally. Now, I live in Asheville, North Carolina, and I'm so lucky to have hundreds of people I know who are on these potent spiritual paths, but some people live places they don't know anyone, or there's only a small community, or they don't really have a group that they vibe with. And this forum that we have is where you can connect and create virtual community if you don't have community of your own in your local area. And the fourth, of course, is to, you know, hook up with that accountability partner. Someone, they'll hold you accountable, you hold them accountable, you help each other stay on track to meet your spiritual goals, and you can do any other goals you want. You know, there's no hold barred, no limit. So those are the four benefits that I've been able to identify that Awakening Plus can really offer a person. So 30 days free, and if you want to continue after that, it's just $19 a month. It's so cheap, you know, very affordable if you want to continue after that. But again, if you do it, again, we're not going to ask you for any credit card information. You've got the 30 days free and clear. At the end of that time, we'll invite you to join. If you say no, no problem, no obligation, but you know, at least you can have this wonderful 30 days of experience. You can download some recordings, get some good juice to work with, regardless of whether you continue or not. So that's the offer.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Benjamin. Yeah, I really love the offer and love everything like you put into it, the live call, the recordings, and also the community, the way you do it. It's really really amazing. I love how you do it and how like people who joins the membership can really have this deeper sense of connection with others, because like you said, like many times we don't find these connections on a spiritual level. That we want, maybe in other levels, but on a spiritual level, it's sometimes not that easy. So through the community, that's really 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 helpful. So yeah, thank you so much, Benjamin. Very grateful to you, and yeah, everyone, really encourage you to sign up. It's a free for 30 days, and you get everything that Benjamin shared with us. And again, the link is yourdivineuniqueness.com/Benjamin, yourdivineuniqueness.com/Benjamin. Or you can click on the link, which is on the webcast page or on the replay page. The button, I mean. Okay. So, yeah, thank you again, Benjamin. So do we do that now, the 2020 astrology, and then we move to the question?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, just a reminder to our audience that to everyone, you can send us your questions by typing them on the question box, which is on the webcast page. And also for those of you on the webcast, on the phone or the web call, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. So yeah, Benjamin, can you share with us about the astrological aspects of the coming year?
Yeah, and again, just to Sarah, I'm not going to get super technical. So if you do not know astrology on a technical level, you're not going to go over your head here. I'm going to try to keep it really plain English. So, but what all the astrologers are so excited about, we have been waiting for 2020 for years and years. There is one mega event that's happening in 2020 that has us all really excited. And it is a triple conjunction of three planets, Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter. And they are all dancing together for almost the entire year 2020 in the later degrees of Capricorn. They're really kind of focused around the mid-20 degree area of Capricorn. So let me explain why this is important. To have three slower planets all together in the same spot in the sky is really rare. And to have them together for this long is really rare, because both Jupiter and Saturn are kind of going back and forth. They're retrograding and turning direct and all that kind of stuff around this time. So there's a lot of focused energy in the year 2020. So now what's happening here is three cycles are beginning in 2020. In astrology, we call this a synodic cycle. Synodic is S-Y-N-O-D-I-C. That means two planets coming together and then starting a multi-year cycle. Now, the most well-known synodic cycle is the sun and the moon, and it happens every 28 days. The sun and moon form a new moon And that's the beginning of their synodic cycle. And then a week later, the moon squares, there's the waxing. And then after 2 weeks, the full moon, and they're halfway through their synodic cycle. And then 3 weeks, you know, waxing moon, and I mean waning square, and then they come back together. So that's the synodic cycle. We're all familiar with the sun and the moon. But every single planet has a cycle, and each one has a unique flavor. So the three cycles that are happening, well, let me start with the quickest ones, and then we'll add on. For starters, Jupiter and Saturn are having a cycle, and this is a well-known cycle in astrology. It's called the Great Conjunction, and Jupiter and Saturn come together at the same place in the sky about every 20 years. The second cycle is Jupiter-Pluto, and this is another flavor of cycle. And this cycle is much quicker. It's about a 13-year cycle. And the longest of the cycles is Saturn and Pluto, who run about 33 years before they come back together. So to have three cycles of significance all starting at the same time is really momentous. So that's kind of a technical overview now. But what it boils down to is this is going to be really intense. And let me just kind of give you a flavor of the archetypal feelings of these planets so you can get a sense of just why this is such a big deal. So let's start with Pluto, who is probably the most intense of these three planets. The further out they get, the more potent they become in terms of their archetypal effect. Pluto is death and rebirth. Pluto is the phoenix burning to ash and the snake shedding its skin and the caterpillar melting down to goo and then coming out a gorgeous butterfly. So Pluto rules the underworld. Pluto rules your shadow work, all the unhealed wounds and traumas you're still carrying around. Okay? So now Pluto also is the lord of wealth and power. So no one can deliver more wealth and power than Pluto can. So we're seeing Pluto already very much in the spotlight these days. Pluto has been in the sign of Capricorn for many years already, and Pluto in Capricorn says, okay, I'll have many varying effects. One is if there are structures that do not serve the greater good, I'll expose them. Pluto's lord of the underworld, he knows where all the secrets are buried, and he brings them up. And there's very few of us left who have any real illusions about our corporations or our governments, and Pluto's been in their Capricorn stirring up and showing us all the nastiness that's been going on. So there's much more widespread awareness now of, you know, shenanigans going on in the corporate world and the governmental world all around the planet. Now, Pluto, therefore, can have a effect of destroying old structures that don't serve, and there has been some very positive reforms globally, not just in the U.S., and where old structures that didn't serve have been torn down, and hopefully better structures are coming up in their place. At the same time, though, Pluto in Capricorn can reinforce the powers that be. And if you look at the overall trend, you know, we had the uprising of, the 1% versus 99% movement and all that, the Occupy movement, and yet it got squashed. And the rich are still getting more and more powerful. So Pluto in Capricorn also rules oligarchy and plutocracy and the rich getting richer, and that's been happening too. So all these archetypes can give us outcomes that we would consider either good or bad depending on our point of view. But Pluto in Capricorn either tends to tear down the old structure that doesn't serve, or it tends to empower the structure that's already there. So that's just Pluto in Capricorn. That's kind of a simple overview of that. Now, let's go to Saturn in Capricorn. And Saturn actually rules Capricorn. And Saturn is on the positive side, your ability to be mature and responsible and timely, and you're able to plan the work the plan, get stuff done. He's just efficient. He's productive. He loves accomplishment. He loves stuff he can see in 3D as an obvious accomplishment. So Saturn in Capricorn can be tremendously productive. At the same time, there's a dark side of Saturn in Capricorn. I mean, everything in astrology, nothing's inherently good or bad. It's all got high and low possibilities. So what becomes of it has to do with the consciousness we bring to it. Okay, so the same exact thing can be horrible or awesome depending on what we choose to do with the potential of it. Okay, like electricity can light up a city or it can electrocute someone to death. You know, it doesn't care. It's just electricity. It's just energy. So Saturn on the low side is all about just workaholic. All I care about is getting it done. I'm cold. I'm impersonal. I'm detached. I don't care about home or family or anyone's emotions. People are pawns to be manipulated for my gain. You know, that's a dark Saturn kind of attitude. So Saturn can go either way in Capricorn. And then here comes Jupiter. Now, Jupiter just tends to amplify whatever is already there. Jupiter is the largest gas giant in our solar system in terms of anything but the sun. He's the biggest guy out there. So he just amplifies and makes bigger anything he makes contact with. So he's tending to amplify whatever Saturn and Pluto are up to. Okay. So now let's do some two-planet combinations now that we understand each one individually. Okay, so let's take Jupiter and Saturn. This is the balance of expansion and contraction. Saturn and Jupiter are natural opposite energy. Jupiter wants to make it bigger. Saturn wants to make it smaller. Jupiter wants to endlessly expand with no limit, and Saturn wants to keep it contained and controlled. So really, used optimally, Jupiter and Saturn together are a nice balancing act. Okay. Now, when you add Pluto into the mix, let's take the Pluto modified by either Jupiter or Saturn. So Jupiter and Pluto is the most awesome possibility you could possibly have for abundance. I mean, one of the meanings of Pluto is great wealth and power, and Jupiter says, great, here's luck and good fortune. Let's have more of that, lots of it. Okay, so when I see the charts of people who have been insanely prosperous, like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, they have strong connections between Jupiter and Pluto in their charts. Okay, so to have them come together in the sky, this is a massive abundance opportunity. Now, this also gives us the question, how do you define abundance? Now, most people immediately think of money, but really, abundance is whatever is valuable to you. You know, it could be, for one person, the greatest abundance they can possibly have is free time to walk in nature, or to play with their child, you know, or to do a hobby. So your abundance is whatever you value, whether it is tangible, like some physical object, or whether it's intangible, like something you like to do. So you define your wealth, and then Pluto and Jupiter together can give you more of that wealth. And we also need to understand power, because Pluto is also power, and there's you know, more and less life-affirming ways to do that. So power over is one way Pluto can be used, and that's where you dominate and control. And again, you are not concerned with how anyone else feels. You're in the game of the one who dies with the most toys wins. And it's all about more, 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 more gain, more for me. And it's a very self-centered approach. And you can do that form of power with Pluto, and many people do. And, but it's always a dog-eat-dog thing. And you know, that's the game you play. And you got to always watch your back. Or, there's the power, that's the power over Pluto, but then there's the power with Pluto, and that is where you, and the only way I've seen people do this successfully is if they have at least a baseline awakening, and when they have this, when they connect at a, just a basic level, like what embodied awakening and vocation gives you, they awaken to the divinity that they are. They realize, oh my gosh, I have all this power inside me. I don't need to go try to steal it from anyone else. I'm overflowing. Even a baseline awakening, like you get with the embodied awakening invocation, when it can still go so much deeper, you get that baseline going, say, wow, I got overflowing power. I've got all I need. I've got an endless supply coming in the top of my head through that cord. Yay. And then you lose interest in dominating and controlling other people. You don't need any more power. You got more than you need. Your interest then becomes, how can I help other people tap into their power? And then the game becomes, wow, how many people can I help awaken and help tune into their own power source? And then everybody wins, because really there's more than enough power for everyone, because everyone has a divine connection and everyone potentially has an overflow. And if you're playing that game, then your interest is not dominating and controlling. Your interest is, how can I help people to tap into their own source so they can have all the power they want and share it with others. And so that's the game of everyone lifting everyone else up. The power over game is squashing everyone else down so you can rise to the top of the heap. So Pluto will happily play the game either way. We live, my understanding is we're living in our free will zone. And in fact, there's a body of philosophy I study called the Law of One, and it's all free online for anyone who wants to read it at lawofone.info, lawofone.info. And this is a channeled body of material, channeled about 35 years ago from this high, high being called Ra, R-A. And what Ra describes through this teaching is that there is fundamentally two human paths, service to other and service to self. And I've really just described them. Pluto dominating and controlling is service to self. And you tapping into your power and helping others rise up, where your greatest joy is helping others, is the service to other path. So you can graduate either way. But my understanding is graduating service to other, where you're mostly about helping other people, when you graduate being human, then you have all these many more lifetimes, billions of years worth, where you go into these realms of pure love and, you know, you get to blend with other beings and you master the fine art of love and wisdom. But if you go the path of service to self and you have to be really, really selfish to graduate that path, then you go into continuing billions of years where you're in realms where it's all dog-eat-dog and fight and dominate and control, and you do that for a long, long, long time before finally the only way left to approach the divine is to go back into union again. You realize, wow, I've taken service to self as far as I can. The only way to proceed at all is to merge back into unity, and, oh, now I'm back on service to other. Who knew? So my understanding is the game is rigged and everybody wins. So that's a little bit of a tangent off the astrology, but I just wanted to sort of put in the my conceptual framework of where how it all leads. So what's going to happen now back on planet Earth as we get into 2020, we get Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter all together, is there will be massive empowerment opportunity to go either way. One thing I can guarantee is your experience is going to be intense. You are going to, this is not a cruise control time. This is not a hammock swimming time. This is a time when any unprocessed emotional stuff you have is going to be triggered and it's going to come up. You know, Pluto and Saturn, Jupiter together are a massive, you know, stimulator of anything unhealed. Remember, Pluto is Lord of the Underworld. He rules shadow work. And Saturn and Jupiter are just going to make it even more intense. So basically what you're going to have is a lot of hucha coming up, a lot of that heavy energy. And what most of us are taught to do is not very helpful. We're taught to what? We go get drunk, or we anesthetize ourselves, or we distract ourselves. The last thing we ever do is actually look at that stuff in the face. Some of us take a little bit better approach. We do like psychotherapy, or we do analytical work, and we think about it and we try to understand it mentally. But how many people do you know who've done decades of therapy and have a deep understanding of their neurosis, but they're still messed up? Okay, so a mental approach can only take you so far, but if you do an experiential approach, if you go shamanic or spiritual, if you do something like the healing invocation that's described on my site, is one of many awesome paths, or if you do plant spirit work, many more people are starting to work with things like ayahuasca, or they're working with the psychedelics, like if you want a realm into that world, then go read the book How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, P-O-L-L-A-N, this hugely best-selling author who's openly advocating, or go check out what Tim Ferriss is doing, supporting the new psychedelic research center at Johns Hopkins University, fully authentic and supported by the government. You know, it's like, you know, these kind of things that take you into the inner realm shamanically or spiritually, whether it is doing, you know, shamanic processes like ayahuasca, whether it's using things like LSD or mushrooms or MDMA, or whether you are doing holotropic breath work, which involves no substances at all, where you're just doing these deep breaths and things are clearing, or whether you're just using my healing invocation and flushing it out that way, or whether you're building up your COSCO with the Four Suns exercise and just processing it through yourself. There's a zillion ways to do it. But, you know, one of the things that's going to happen with this intense year of 2020 is your stuff is going to come up, and it is not a time to escape from it. or ignore it or sweep it under the rug. It is not a time just to get mental about it and think you can cure it mentally. It is a time to get experiential and clear it. So that is one piece of advice I will give you about the year 2020. Any unprocessed wounds are probably going to get catalyzed, and they're only going to get catalyzed because they want you to heal it. I have a firm belief through my own experience and all the clients I've worked with, anytime you have a challenge coming up, it is not because a cruel universe is being, you know, nasty to you for no reason. It is because that level of pain is being presented to you in the hopes that you will heal it once and for all. That's, in my opinion, the only reason we have challenge come up. It is a healing opportunity, and if you have a good tool and you use it well, that trauma can often be put to bed forever and never bother you again. And the great thing about tools like the healing invocation is you can actually have the stuff come up, and let's say it was a huge trauma and it would be too much all at once. Your higher self knows that. It's only going to take a little bit of it. It says, okay, that's a big one. We're going to take 19 rounds to take that out, 19 like healing invocation rounds. So using a tool like I offer with my healing invocation, you'll never have too much. It'll just flush out. It'll be intense. It won't be too much. And if you're willing to face that intensity and repeat as needed, rinse and repeat, eventually that stuff can fully clear. Now, on a slightly tangent of that, I believe there are two types of wounding. The soul, when it comes in, sometimes will say, okay, I'm going to present this challenge to my human part, and yes, it can be healed fully. Go for it. And it may have certain things as, you know, this is a soul-chosen limitation, and you get this for the whole life. A classic example is Stephen Hawking, you know, one of the most brilliant physicists ever, whose body degenerated to a point where it was pretty much non-functional. He was paraplegic. Okay, and I believe he made a soul-level choice saying, I came here to do this brilliant breakthrough work with the mind, and I can't afford to be distracted by my body. So he chose to have a debilitated physical form and a brilliant mind, and he basically, with that setup, forced himself to do the brilliant breakthrough thinking he was here to do. So anytime someone has a significant limitation, it's possible they chose that at the soul level. That limitation is there for life, and their job is to work within that parameter. But sometimes you don't know, and there's no harm in trying to heal something, and either it will get healed or it won't. So some things can be healed. Some things, as a shaman once said to me, are of God, and they're permanent. And your job is to figure out which is which. And if you have a permanent limitation, not to be grumbly and angry about that, say, okay, this is a limitation. I'll assume that I chose it on the soul level. I heard Eckhart Tolle speaking with Oprah on a recent podcast. He had a wonderful thing he said. I want to tangent slightly onto this. He said, I hear a lot of New Age people say, you know, you chose that from the soul level. And he says, but a lot of people have trouble with that. You know, they're not ready to accept that this challenging thing is a soul-chosen phenomenon. He says what he finds more helpful is to say, let me act as if I chose this at the soul level. And that for a lot of people is a lot more palatable. They're not ready to say for sure they made that choice, but it's here anyway, so let's just assume it happened that way, and that actually just makes it a lot easier to work with. I do believe that the story you tell about a situation has a huge impact on how helpfully you can deal with it. So I went off on a little bit of a tangent there. For me, when I do astrology, it's not just technical description. I like to add things that actually give you helpful ways to work with it. Now, I just went big on the challenge side of it. Let me go big on the opportunity side of Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn. If you are building a structure, if you are building a business, if you want abundance and prosperity and power, this is your year. I mean, it doesn't get much more potent and powerful than Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn in Capricorn, the sign of business and structure and making things happen. So it is a massive year for material accomplishment, productivity, abundance. A lot of people are going to get very, very wealthy in 2020. Again, however you define wealth. Remember, it doesn't have to be just money. So it's a huge year for building. And again, I'll mention too, some people are going to feel it more than others. Now, let me add this other layer to this. So each of us has a horoscope, and you may or may not have sensitive parts of your chart there in the late degrees of the cardinal signs. So let me explain a tiny bit. This is just a teeny bit technical. I'll try to keep it simple. So all this juice is happening, like, you know, in the mid 20 degree range of Capricorn. That's where all this energy is focused for the most part. But these planets are also going to be affecting all the other cardinal signs in the same degree ranges. They're going to be conjoining the stuff in Capricorn. They're going to be opposing the same degree range in Cancer. And they're going to be squaring the same degree numbers in Aries and Libra. So if you have your horoscope, or you want to print it out at a site called astro.com, where you can print it out for free, just check it out. Do you have significant things in the mid 20 degree range of either Aries or Cancer or Libra or Capricorn? And if so, then this triple conjunction is going to be firing those parts up really big. It's the conjunctions and oppositions or squares from big moving planets that really shake things up and gives the big opportunities. So if your chart has stuff in there, then I'd advise you, if you can't consult an astrologer, you can certainly come to me at astroshaman.com, or any good astrologer you know should be able to clue you in if that's a sensitive zone for you, and if so, the particular ways in which you can work with it. It's going to be different for everybody. Everyone has a unique natal chart. For everyone, the opportunity and challenge will be a little bit different, because every human's a customized being and they have their own rule book they're playing by, because each has a different chart. But the broadly things, you'll find broadly true the things I'm saying. And so I think I've given at least a sense of that. Monsef, if you'd like me to go one layer deeper, I can give the specific ranges of the year when it's going to be especially strong, because there are a couple three times when there's aspects, especially from Mars, that lights the whole thing up even stronger. Would that be too much deep, or should I go into that?
Mm. Yeah, of course. I would love to. And also, I think our audience would love to hear about that.
Okay. All right. So just as I looked over the big – and what I did is I ran all the sky transits, just including Mars on out. That means I used Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and I looked at what's the big stuff happening. So now again, all year is intense, but it's going to be especially intense in the latter part of March of 2020. March 20 through 31, we have Mars conjoining Jupiter and Pluto and Saturn. Mars is a big catalyst. He's a timer, we might say. So that latter period of March, these conjunctions are exact, March 20 through 31. But again, we're going to feel that, you know, probably mid-March through the first week of April. So that's – and also Jupiter and Pluto are exactly conjunct on April 4th. So that whole mid-March through roughly mid-April period, that's going to be especially intense compared to the rest of the year. Let me just see what else is juicy. Let me scroll my screen here a little bit. We're also going to have a period late June, early July. On June 30, Jupiter and Pluto are conjunct again. Saturn enters Capricorn on July 1 of 2020. That's all a lot of intensity right there. Another hot zone is August. Spaced out throughout August, Mars is going to square Jupiter and then Pluto and then Saturn. These hard aspects from Mars are going to be strong catalyzers. So the whole month of August is intense, especially. Just seeing that there's one more window right near the end of the year. December 17, Saturn enters Aquarius. On the 19th, Jupiter enters Aquarius. It's 2 days behind it. Jupiter and Saturn conjoin on the 21st. So that whole second half of December, roughly, there's a big shift of energy there. These two, you know, of the three planets we're concerned about, Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter, two of them coming into Aquarius, which shifts the energy dramatically. Aquarius is like the energy of breakthrough, paradigm shift, quantum leap. So I'm thinking, as we end the year of 2020, there will be some sense of breakthrough, relief, shifting out of all the intensity we've been in. So the year ends with a little bit of relief and quantum leap and the possibility for much rapid, more rapid change. There's going to be a lot of feeling of the year 2020. It's a bit of a slog, a lot of intensity, a lot of muck to get through as all this stuff comes up to be cleared. And let me mention, too, this is not just on a personal level. Let me explain another level that many of your listeners will relate to, Monsef, which is we ain't just doing this for ourselves. You know, we are absolutely in the midst of a massive shift of the ages. We are clearing up 7,000 years of patriarchy, of dominator-controlled culture, and in order for this to be cleared, it all has to come up out of the muck and be cleared. And therefore, if you are processing stuff, it tends to work on three levels. If you've got a ton of your own stuff that's still unresolved, you'll probably just be processing for yourself until you get clear enough to be of further service. Then typically we begin processing our family lineage, the unresolved wounds of our you know, ancestors and even those from future generations, because this stuff doesn't care about time. We can start processing for our family lineage. And some of us are processing for complete strangers. I've had many occasions where I had stuff come through me. It was not mine. It wasn't family. It was just beings I didn't even know who they were. But it said, hey, you're available. You can do it. Process it. Put it through your Costco, whatever. So just know that as your capability rises, you may be called on to process heavy energy beyond yourself. But again, it won't happen unless you're ready. The universe is a very fair game, and only those who have the capability will be called to do these kind of processes. Now, I have seen many clients and many friends who have felt it was very intense and they had a great deal of challenge doing this. But I will also remind you, as I alluded to earlier, the only time you are given significant challenges when it's time for you to have a growth spurt, spiritually speaking. So I've seen over and over and over again with my astrology clients, my life coaching clients, my shamanic healing clients, when they come to me in the greatest throes of crisis, things are crashing down all around them, they are always on the verge of a massive breakthrough in consciousness. And if I'm able to help them do that breakthrough, and I usually can, then they get on and say, oh, my God, whew, I've never been this awake. I've never been this full of light and ecstasy and bliss. Because the more roiled up it is and the more intense it is, the more that breakthrough is wanting to happen. So take it as an article of faith. The more intense and challenging your life is, the more awesome the opportunity for breakthrough and awakening and heightened consciousness is when you deal with that successfully, when you stop running from it and cursing it and saying what a bad person you must be because you have these terrible things happening, and you start saying, okay, I have challenge arising. I need to become more skillful. I need to grow. Perhaps I'm being called to some kind of shamanic initiation. In ancient indigenous cultures, how did the shamans get identified? They got struck by lightning, or they got hit with a serious illness and might be down for years with a debilitating illness or injury. But when they healed it, they came back transformed. So often it is the greatest challenge which shows up in whatever modern clothing it needs to be in to fit the culture and society you're in. And when you master the challenge, when you call on your divine allies, because often it's more than the human can do on their own. Maybe sometimes the lesson is, I can't just do this for my ego. I've tried every which way. I need to start calling on divine help. I need to call in my awakening. I need to call in my healing. I need to realize I can't do it as an isolated human. I don't have enough power from there. I need to make a bigger game. Call in my divine parts too. Then you can deal with it. I honestly believe we never get a challenge we cannot handle if we're skillful enough. So if you are in one of these intense challenge periods now or into 2020, just know that, okay, I'm being called to a greater awakening. I'm being asked to step up into more power, more love, if you're on the path of service to others. And if you don't even know how that's going to look, then just start asking your higher self, how can I be guided? How can I help? I know I'm in a growth spurt here. I don't know how to do it, Spirit, you know. Make it happen. I call in whatever assistance I need to successfully negotiate this challenge and get to my next level of empowerment and awakening and service. So that's, I find, the people who hold that attitude tend to be the ones who make the breakthroughs and then become the magnificent beings of greater service as a result. So I feel like I've been on my soapbox, so let me just step down. And so those are not only the astrology things, but my own beliefs about them, and hopefully some helpful ideas that might help people who are going through the intensity. and they're a little more on the challenge side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Benjamin. That was very inspiring, and at the same time, it's really brings so much excitement about what we can experience, whether it's very challenging through the healing that we will go through, and also the opportunities that we can create. But both is just for our own growth, personally and also on a collective level. And thank you so much for sharing that. I feel it's really helpful to all of us, and it's a great guidance for what we can experience. So thank you so much for that. And
my pleasure.
Yeah. Let's see. We have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead. You want to say something?
Me or the questioner?
No, you, because you are starting to talk.
There actually is one more thing I'm being called to share, and then we'll get to the question, because I think we have up to 2 hours if we need it, right? Is that true?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can reach that.
Okay, cool. All right. So the one thing I wanted to add, many of us, again, back to the Law of One teaching I referred to earlier, they have a term called wanderer. And it means someone who's not native to Earth. They volunteered to come here knowing how challenging it would be, and they came here to serve. And I believe many of the people hearing this are wanderers. And the way you know is you don't feel like Earth is your home. Sometimes you don't even want to be here. It just doesn't feel like you belong here on Earth. And in fact, you don't, because you're not of Earth. You came from another planet that was probably a more peaceful place, or you came from another dimension, another reality. And because Earth apparently is such a unique exception to the universal scheme, and there's so much more challenge going here than the normal orderly transitions most planets have when they shift levels, like Earth is shifting now. Just consider that if you are one of those who came to serve, and you'll have an inkling if you're hearing my voice and you're having that feeling, it kind of feels like that, then know that you knew coming in that you were coming into a really challenging situation. And so many people say, the Earth is in such bad shape, and they're getting all bummed out and depressed because the Earth's in such bad condition. And I acknowledge that, but I'll also say you knew that coming in as an incoming soul. You knew how challenging it was going to be down here. So your job is not to heal the whole planet, because you've got hundreds of millions of other light workers here too. You are not alone. There are a ton of light workers here doing a lot of work. You're, in my opinion, the attitude to take is, what is mine to do? You're not here to solve the whole thing. No one human can. It's a team effort. So don't get just overwhelmed by just how much horrible stuff is happening and how much there is to do. You, I'm going into spiritual territory now. In my opinion, if you are wanting to come to peacefulness yourself and help out the situation, job one is to establish and maintain your own embodied awakening. Use the maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good invocation, or whatever tool works best for you. That's good to have something that's quick and efficient and reliable. That invocation does that for a lot of people. You got something that works better, use that as a thing. I don't care. But maintain your embodied awakening. Walk between the worlds all day, every day, the best you can. And if you are doing that, then you are out of the tumult of the chattery mind, and you are in the stillness of the intuitive knowing, and you, to a much greater degree, at least know what you are here to do. You have a fundamental baseline of peace and flow and harmony and ease. The intuition that formerly might have only popped in sporadically is now your functioning consciousness. Your intuition is what is driving your body, in a sense. So you know what you are here to do. You don't have to wonder. You just know in each moment the impulse arises to do the next thing, and you just do it. And so when you get into this wonderful flow of embodied awakening, you do way less advanced planning, because you don't have any idea what Spirit's going to give you to do next. It's all in flow, and you don't care. You get much less about trying to control and, map out a future life for yourself, and you're in much, I'm just here in flow state, and in each moment, my divine intelligence shows me what to do. The ego can always accept or reject any guidance. I found it's much better to accept. And then you are coming from a place of peacefulness. And for many of the light workers, I've been intuitively told again and again, their core assignment is simply to hold embodied awakening. If they never lifted a finger to do anything physically, they would still be completing their assignment just by being awake, because every being who holds embodied awakening radiates that out to the whole planet. And when enough people do it, there is a tipping point and the whole planet wakes up. So for many of us, the core assignment is not even to do anything physical. It's just to hold the awakened state consistently. Now, as it so happens, when a person gets there, what usually happens is they then are inspired by their own inner guidance to start doing certain things, and they will act in accordance with that inner guidance. And often they end up with a life that looks radically different than they thought it was going to look like. My own life is a good example. You know, at 41, I moved away from Oklahoma to Asheville, North Carolina, to be what I thought a full-time singer-songwriter. And that only lasted a few years, and then spirit started moving me other directions. And then I went into all the other unusual stuff that I do. But it's all in flow, because all the time I've been saying, spirit, I will be done. Show me what to do. I'll do it the best I can. And my life has turned out radically different than what I thought it was going to be, and much, much better than what I had planned. So if you'll devote yourself first and foremost, if you feel like you are here to serve, and you're on the Awakener team, and you're on the service to other team of all these, you know, many millions who've come here to do this, then I urge you, just get your embodied awakening as consistent as you can, and you'll receive your guidance beyond that. And your quality of life will go through the roof. You'll have a lot more pleasure. You'll wake up every morning, and you'll already be in a state of bliss, just waking up that you would have taken drugs a couple of years before to get to. You know, and it'll be your new normal. You'll just be walking around in bliss. You'll be more functional than before. It's awesome. I cannot say enough good things about embodied awakening, however you get there. So I just wanted to give some encouragement to those who feel like they don't belong here, such a terrible mess down here, et cetera. My job is, my premise is, you knew that coming in. And the price of your admission was amnesia. You knew coming in that in order to take that human body on, you would have to forget your mission, at least for a while. And not every wanderer remembers their mission. Some die and they never remembered why they came. It's hazard duty. It's perilous. Okay? So your job is to get that embodied awakening, and then you have much greater chance of knowing why you're here and knowing in each moment what the optimal assignment is, because spirit itself doesn't know. There's a lot of dark side and light side forces doing a lot of stuff, and, you know, the battle plan is drawn, and then it changes as soon as the battle starts. Everyone who studies military science knows that. So your higher self itself won't even know the next thing to do sometimes until the situation calls for it. So advanced planning is of limited use when you walk a path like this. You just need to be open and willing to follow the inner guidance. And I'll just close my little rant here with this. When I ask my clients, do things go better when you follow your intuition or when you don't? I've asked hundreds the same question. They all tell me it goes better when they follow the inner guidance. So, you know, your higher self is vastly more intelligent than your human self is. The human self is a candle compared to that raging bonfire of intelligence and knowing that your higher self is. And you're really smart just to chill out and let it drive. And I just promise you, if you do that, your life will get so much better. It's just a quantum leap in quality of life that I can only point at. It's like the old Zen, point the finger at the moon, but everyone keeps looking at your finger, right? I'll try to describe it the best I can. All to say is that it's way better than you can ever imagine. It just surprises you when it shows up, and it keeps getting better. So I could go on a lot, but I'll just pause there and see if anyone out there has a question or a comment that they'd like to share.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you so much, Benjamin, for sharing that. I feel it's really helpful and comforting, and also confirming about what we experience. And it's a great reminder for us, because many times, like, we may forget what we are here to do. And like, these experiences is just for us, for heal and to grow, which will serve ourselves and also the collective. This is why we are here. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. And Marina from Barcelona, she's asking about the Awakening Plus membership. She didn't get the confirmation either on the page or email, so she's checking if she needs to wait for more time or
So she went ahead and did the offer, and she's saying that she didn't get confirmation of some kind.
Yeah, and also I tried again. It's like reinforce the information, and then it gets blank again, and no confirmation email.
Well, I will have to look at that. I thought I had it all set up properly, but after we finish this live call, I'll go in and we'll troubleshoot any technical issues that might be there.
Yeah, of course. And everyone will still have the link on the webcast page and also the replay. I will send it later today. So let's invite a caller. We have a caller from Watertown, phone number ending with 0912. Hello.
Hi, my name is Shanna.
Hi, Shanna.
Hi, Shanna.
Hi. I really found like the astrology stuff really fascinating with this upcoming year. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, for me personally, my three big signs are in Capricorn, Aries, and Scorpio. So I'm just kind of wondering, how will that, kind of transpire for me?
Well, it depends also where they are. The ones in Capricorn and Aries are going to be the ones that are going to be most affected, but they'll be only intensely affected if they're in the 20s of those signs. So you have to know exactly where they are, and beyond that, you have to know what the actual, it goes deep, not only what planet is it, but, is that planet ruling an angle? An astrologer would then go several levels deeper to determine exactly what that means, and that's a little beyond the scope of what we can do on a show like this, which is trying to give more broadly available stuff. But again, if you wanted to, pop me an email, I could, pull up your chart real quick and just see if you're having significant effect from that. And I would, yes, you are, no, you aren't. And then if you wanted to do work to understand that more deeply, you certainly could. But again, I'd need to know, what the actual degree numbers and what the planets are. And then I'd really need to pull the whole chart up and read it more fully to understand if you're having a truly significant effect personally.
Okay, wonderful.
Sorry, I wish it was a simpler answer, but astrology is kind of complicated.
No, it's totally fine.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sheena, for calling in. Thank you so much, Benjamin, for the guidance. And we have a question. We don't have the name of the caller. The question is, what about our death or exit point? Is death pre-chosen?
Oh, good question. I think it often is. Now, again, what I would refer you to as the best source of knowledge I have on this is the book Journey of Souls by Michael Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N. And this guy is a hypnotherapist who regressed a lot of people back to their life between lives, between when they died in the prior incarnation and before they came into this one. And he was very skeptical at first, but he did lots of patients, regressed them back, and developed a very consistent picture. And the broad answer I'll give to this is many of the key moments of the lifetime are predetermined. It's like we sort of laid out these major points where we knew a certain thing was going to happen, and everything in between that is sort of improvisation. I believe some people have chosen a particular death moment. Sometimes, all contracts can be renegotiated. I have heard of souls who chose an earlier exit or who got dispensation to stay a little later. In terms of a practical answer, if you know through your own inner wisdom when your death point is, then I would certainly live light in awareness of that. One of the most helpful philosophies I know, which does not require knowing your time of death, is to live each year as if it is the last year of your life. In the sense of, if I'm compromising something, if I have a strong desire or urge to have a certain life experience or do a certain thing, and I'm constantly postponing that, if I'm living a humdrum, mediocre, gray life to please other people and not fulfilling my own needs and desires, that's not a great way to live. I would say, and I'll use my own life as an example. Until I was 41, I had a corporate sales job and, you know, I was living sort of a gray life, and I was getting more depressed every year because I knew I was supposed to do my own thing. And that, at that moment, I thought I was supposed to be a singer-songwriter. So at 41, I did it. I quit the job. I moved here to Asheville, and I did my thing from then on. I've only done what my heart leapt to from that point. My answer would be live in alignment with your soul purpose the best you can. You're on track with soul purpose. I mean, you can determine it through astrology, through technical stuff, but the simplest way to do it is, am I lit up with joy when I do this thing or think about doing it? Am I excited? Am I passionate? Am I enthusiastic about following this path? And if you have that kind of response to it, then that is soul purpose aligned. And your higher self is calling you to that experience. So the more you live a life aligned with your passion, your enthusiasm, your joy, then you come more fully into alignment with life purpose. And I would say you don't need to worry about the exact moment of your death if you are living life on purpose. You know, my own philosophy, I'm 59 years old now, and I love my life. I love being a human being. I love being Benjamin. And I get great joy in every year of my life. And yet, if I were to die tomorrow, that would be perfectly fine because I already know I have a strong sense of what lies beyond that. And, you know, Benjamin will die. My consciousness will absolutely continue. And death is just a transition moment. You go on into the next thing, and the form dies and the consciousness continues. Consciousness cannot die. So just know that, you know, whether you drop your human body or not, you're on your journey, and that journey in human terms goes for billions of years. So don't get too whacked out about whether your physical body is going to die or not. That's inevitable. It's just a matter of when. Live your life on purpose. Live with joy and passion and enthusiasm. Now, from an astrological perspective, now, Western astrologers don't do this so much, but there are Vedic astrologers who do claim to be able to know when their moment of physical death will come. And if you are really want that knowledge, then you should go find a good Vedic astrologer and have them predict your date of death. That's routinely done in India, and they consider that not depressing but helpful because they can kind of plan things up. So if you're of a mindset where you want to know that kind of information, then a good Vedic astrologer can do that for you. I don't do Vedic. I do Western. But in my own mind, I don't need to know the moment of my physical death. It doesn't matter. All that matters is I'm living my life passionately. I'm doing what I'm called to do. I'm following my inner guidance in each moment, and that's a helpful life. And, of course, it's going to stop at some point, and then it's on to the next adventure. I hope a helpful response to that question.
Yeah, it does, and I really love this. It's very inspiring, and as you said, what is important is what we are creating, and we will transition. Like one day, it's inevitable, and it's not the end. This is just one experience of like unlimited other experiences. So it's that. I really loved it. Thank you so much, Benjamin. I want us to share a feedback from Jeannie. Zaboki. Benjamin, thank you. All the awakening info is always helpful as I need lots of reminders. Looking forward to Awakening Plus. I signed up and I know from all the months I enjoyed ease that it is going to be great.
Oh, thank you, Jeannie. Yeah, Jeannie was in my prior program called Ease. That was the Embodied Awakening Support Experience, and Awakening Plus is just a major upgrade from that. There's several major new elements that were not in Ease that are in the new program. So that's very sweet, Jeannie. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. So, yeah, Benjamin, thank you so much. Very grateful to you for everything you shared with us during this call. Really inspiring information that was very, very powerful. Thank you for that. And also the two journeys and processes that you guide us through, that was very profound. I really love them. Really, thank you so much, Benjamin.
Oh, it's always an honor to be on your show, Monsef. You are just an amazing, when I feel your energy, you have such sweet, high vibration, celestial energy, and it's just always a pleasure to be in partnership with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, and it's always my honor to be able to share your work with our audience. So thank you so much for that opportunity. And So yeah, and everyone, really thank you so much for being here, for sharing with us this experience. That was really, really powerful one. Thank you for those who asked their questions. And also we'll have the Awakening Flash link ready. So I will send the replay email later today with when it's ready. So yeah, and again, that link is yourdivineuniqueness.com/Benjamin. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Benjamin. BENJAMIN. And also you find the button, orange button on the webcast page or on the replay page. So yeah, so there you will have the 30 days free access to Awakening Plus membership with the live, the three live calls and the recording plus 200 recordings from the past journeys that's been maintained, and also the community, which is really, really amazing. So yeah, thank you again, everyone. Very grateful to each and every one of you, and I'm sending you so much love, and I will see you on the next call. Bye bye, everyone.